as I think. I have the freedom to campaign for the causes I believe in, something not always present in my two previous careers. As a journalist, I was dependent on events. In politics, I had to subsume my life into the needs and demands of others. With today's freedom, I can pick and choose, and I do. So when I decided to write this book, for example, I did just that and pushed other things into the background, because I can. But there is one major part of my life that I cannot control. Depression. It is a bastard. Despite all my good luck and opportunities, all the things that should ensure I'm happy and fulfilled, it keeps coming. This book is an attempt to explain my depression, to explore it, to make sense of it, properly to understand it, where it may have come from, why it keeps coming, and what, if anything, I can do to live a better life despite it. In doing so, I hope to be able to find answers that may help me, and that my story and the telling of it may help others too. We all know someone with depression. There is barely a family untouched by it. We may be talking about it more than we did back in the era of big boys don't cry. They did, you know. When a brave face or a stiff upper lip or a best foot forward was seen as the only way to go. But we still don't talk about it enough. There is still stigma, shame and taboo. There is still the feeling that admitting to being sad or anxious, let alone chronically depressed, makes us weak. It took me years, decades even, to get to this point. But I now passionately believe that the reverse is true, and that speaking honestly about our feelings and experiences, whether as a depressive or as the friend or relative of a depressive, is the first, best step on the road to recovery. So that is what I'm trying to do here. To begin with, I want to go right back to the start, to my birth, my family, and the broadly happy childhood which followed. Once, there were six of us, and now we are just two. We were a family of exiles, an intensely Scottish family living in England. My dad, Donald Campbell, was a crofter's son born on the Hebridean island of Tiree in 1922. My mother Betty, 4 years younger, was the daughter of an Ayrshire farmer. They met when my dad, then a student vet at Glasgow University, was visiting the farm where she grew up. Once they got engaged, the marriage almost never happened because my dad insisted he would never leave Scotland. My mum called off the engagement and headed south herself to work in a London hotel. Eventually he followed, first working in Hampshire, then as a full partner in practice with fellow Scot Murdo Ferguson in Keighley, in the James Herriot territory of Yorkshire. That was where we four children were all born, in Victoria Hospital. I was the third boy in a row, born on the 25th of May, 1957. My sister Elizabeth, born 2 years later, owes her life to the fact that my mother was determined to keep going till she had a daughter. Had I been a girl, we would have been five, not six. That we are now just two, me and Liz, is because our older brothers, Donald and Graham, died prematurely. They were both aged 62, which is, worryingly enough, my age right now. I was closest in age to Graham, who was born just 13 months before me, and for long periods of our childhood we were inseparable. Considering that we spent most of our upbringing sharing a bedroom and had a shared passion for sport and later languages, I often think we should have been closer as adults. He was clever, funny, but never made the most of his undoubted talents. He had next to no interest in wealth, material comfort, or making a good career. Of the four of us, he was the least enamoured of our Scottish identity. Donald and I both took up Dad's offer to teach us to play the bagpipes. Graham refused, referring to our chosen instrument, which required considerable time devoted to practice, simply by the anagram Gabsepip. And while Donald and I